Philip, he got saved here a while back, and he's going to be preaching at the nursing home today and with his folks and all that, so he's going to come on now, and I'm going to let him work on it here. You want me to get you this little thing here that's set, or you want to sit right here, stand right here? Just get right there like the big boys do, buddy. Wow. You're tall enough. That's exactly right. That's good. You ain't got to worry about it. You can be running and shouting or anything, because see that little thing? We've got to tape you, and we want to make sure we don't lose you.
Go to Psalms 9, chapter 9. We'll be reading from verse 1. And I'm going to preach about the praising of salvation. And it says here, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. Which he's talking to the Lord who died on the cross, who then for him and rose again, because without that we couldn't be saved. So that's the reason we're praising, because we're praising about he died on the cross and he went back in 3 days. And then he didn't just go straight back to heaven. He went to go talk to some people. He did some more miracles until he went back up. And if you go to verse 14, it says, that I may show forth all the praise in the gates of thy daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation. So really, it's a thing you should rejoice. It's not just a thing, like a normal daily thing, like a birthday or something. It's a wonderful thing of eternity. Like, you don't just get saved and then do all that. You do it, and you got to praise it, and then you have a job to go learn about the Bible, get your cup filled, and then go to other people and fill their cup. That's the reason we do all this. And if you go to Psalms 14 and verse 7, it says, O that salvation of Israel, where I come out of Zion, when the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people, Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. Talking about a whole country here is glad. That the captive has been set free from when he died on the cross. That's just miracles that's happened. No other man can just get tortured and whipped and almost get killed, not even getting on the cross yet. That's just pure miracle in luck. So then go to Psalms 51. Here in Psalms 51, it's in verse 12, I will restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Restore me unto joy. That's just joy. He just has joy of thy salvation. And it's okay if you go to people and you're saying you're saved, because it's a good thing. You should want to brag about it, because only the Lord can do that. No other man can. And only him. That's all I have.
Amen. Yeah.
All right,
amen.
All right, good job. Well done. Yes, sir. That's a good deal. That's a blessing all the way around. Take your Bible, if you will, please, this morning. Let me see if I get this button here turned on. I was worried about getting him set up, and now here we go. Is that it? Good. Take your Bible, if you will, to the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 4. In 1 Peter, chapter 4, I'll give you a moment to find that. 1 Peter, chapter number 4. If you find the place, then you can stand, and we'll look with verse 16. In verse number 16. The Bible says, well, let's back up to verse 15, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or as an evildoer or a busybody in other men's matters. I'm going to tell you one thing. It's not hard to not be a murderer. It's not hard to not be a stealer or a thief or a robber. It's not hard to be an evildoer. Boy, it's hard to not be a busybody. He said, yet if a man suffers a Christian, look at that. Let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first began at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? Notice that. He says, and if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? And wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls unto Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Now, Father, we ask Your blessings upon the reading of the Word. We thank You now for the good sermon that already that we've heard. We pray that now You'd help us. And, Lord, we pray You'd exalt Thyself and through Thy servant, and, Lord, save the soul that's nearest hell. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you, and be seated. I want to preach you a little while that if I might here on a subject, on which one are you? In this Bible lesson we're looking at in verse number 16 that he mentioned a Christian. Hey, I want to ask you this. Are you a Christian this morning? Are you a Christ follower? Are you being born into the family of God? I'm not talking about simply just walking down the aisle, shaking a hand, getting in the baptistry and going back into the world and the wallowing of the mire, doing like you've always done, going where you've always been, doing what you've always done. I'm talking about when God saved you, made a new creature out of you in Christ Jesus. That's what I'm talking about. In this lesson here, he said there, and he mentioned, said, if you suffer as a Christian, you know, not everybody's going to want you to suffer as a Christian. Some of you, you know, the biggest opposition you'll have when you get saved, when you got saved. You know what it was? Your own family. Oh, I'm not mad that you got saved, but don't let it go to your head. I didn't. It's gone to my heart. And that's the reason why my life changed. That's the reason why I live different and I look different and why I love to praise the Lord and exalt and magnify the name of the Lord. Did you realize, you know, that while he was talking about all that business there, I mean, if you've got anything that's real from God, others ought to be able to hear it. Others around you ought to be able to see it. They ought to be able to know that, hey, there's a difference. If any man be in Christ, the Bible said, he's a new creature. I got to tell you something, is that what it does when he saves your soul, it makes a person of righteousness out of you. Did you notice there in verse number 18 that he mentioned, if the righteous scarcely be saved? Now I want to tell you something, we've been made righteous. If you're saved this morning, you've been made righteous by the blood of the Lamb. And not only have you been saved by the grace of God and been made righteous by the blood, but it's made a difference in your life that others can see and others can hear and they can take notice of. In this lesson here that you're looking at, and all that business there. Now, you may in this world we're living in. I was telling you one time about visiting with a family, and I asked a man, sir, if you died today, do you know you'd go to heaven? And he said, well, no, I don't. And he said, I said, well, wouldn't you like to? And all that, well, you know, I guess if it would be possible. I said, ma'am, what about you? I'm asking the wife now. If you died today, do you know you'd go to heaven? Oh, yes, I do. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you. And the guy looked shocked. He looked as shocked as this dear lady did when she found out her husband hadn't been feeling good this week.
What a shame.
See? I just said all that to be able to say this. People ought to be shocked at the fact you claim to be a Christian. If so be that you've been saved by the grace of God. And here's what that old boy tell you. He said, I take it back, preacher. If she's saved in the condition she's in, then I'm certainly saved. I thought, well, we're going to get in a family argument right here. And she said, well, now, wait a minute. Now, you know, I got saved, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, and you go to the same, you smoke the same dope, and you drink the same beer, and you go to the same honky-tonk, said I do. Oh, my word, what a thing that was. I tell you about me is I left there with that look. Like, see, I mean, boy, what have I gotten into here? That's the truth of the matter. Listen, do your sons and daughters know you're saved? Does your husband or wife know you are saved? I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about sitting here. I'm not going to church every now and again. If the righteous scarcely be saved, then wherein lies the sinner? You realize to know that whenever you begin to look into this Bible here, the Bible said, look in verse 18 again. He mentions the righteous. He mentions the ungodly. He mentions the sinner. Now here's the title of this sermon, which one of them are you? I'm going to tell you, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but thank God now I can see. I once realized and know that I was just religious but lost without God. I got to tell you something. I was trying to play both ends again in the middle. And the day that Jesus Christ came and knocked on my heart's door and snatched me as a brand from the burning, he saved my soul and changed my life. And I got to tell you something right now is that not only has he changed my life, he changed my listening. You know, I used to come to the house of God and think, I wonder how long this is going to last. I can tell you how long eternity is going to last. You better pay close attention. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear, the Bible said. And while there's yet time and there's yet life in you, you'd better give a listening ear to the word of the Lord. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, this Bible said, is that if you will, he'll not only change your listening, he'll change your look. You know, when I got saved, people begin to look at me and think, you just look different. You just look nicer, you look neater, you just sound better. And I'm going to tell you something. I had somebody tell me one time, and they said, well, preacher, you can't tell me why that I ought to get saved and how good a difference that it would make. What do you mean how good a difference? I said, I can tell you this. That Bible said that the least day that you got with God is better than 1,000 in the world without hope and without God. You'd be better off to just live one more day in Christ. But let me tell you right now, if you spend the rest of your life without hope and without God, one of these days you'll face him face to face. And let me tell you, he's either going to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many. He's either going to say that to you, or he's going to say, depart, you're a worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Now, what a sad day and an hour that's going to be. And by the way, people are just not jumping through a hula hoop backwards trying to come forward to get saved. And I want you to see that, if you will, please, is that when you begin to look, do you know that the preacher, your favorite preacher that you know right now, more than likely be in hell? I'm going to tell you why. Are you paying attention? The Bible said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man shall come again. And you know what that means, don't you? There wasn't but one saved preacher left by the time that took place. Before Jesus comes again, there's not going to be that very many saved preachers across the country. Well, what happened to them? Well, they died off. I mean, hey, look at me. I've already got one foot in the grave and the other sliding in pretty fast. See what I'm talking about? I mean, the only guy that I've got wanting to be my assistant is Brother Eddie, and he's 87. He's already talked about, hey, you better watch it. He said, a lot of preachers that I've tried to help, and they're gone. Here I am still. You better straighten up and do right. God's liable to make you listen to Brother Eddie from now on. No, I'm just messing with you. It's hard to find somebody in the day and hour that we're living in that's 27 that'll shell it to the cob, that'll preach heaven real and hell hot. And I'm glad this old man here, well, young man, I can call him old because he's older than I am, but I'm glad he'll still do that. I'm glad that old brother Darrell, buddy, will get up and open up the Bible and you can expect to be able to hear the blessed word of the Lord. I'm going to tell you, I've heard some sermons that from these fellows here, and you can't beat what the word of the Lord had to say. I've listened to some of you other young men. This young man here, well done. There's a Christian that's mentioned here. There's a sinner that's mentioned here. There's an ungodly person that's mentioned here. And my question is, which one of these are you? Now, if you're here this morning lost and undone without God, there's only one way you can ever be saved. And here's the way you've got to do it. You've got to be able to look at yourself lost, without hope, without God, undone, and nothing you can do for yourself. And look in verse number 19 in the last phrase. I'm going to commit my soul to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. Let me tell you, if you'll come to Jesus Christ as an empty-handed beggar, you can depend on him to save your soul from a devil's hell. Put your feet on the solid rock, Christ Jesus. Establish your going, and you'll be able to go with him and for him ever since. You know, in this day and hour, that we're living in with all this woke business that's out here in the world. The Bible said there's only two genders, male and female. See? The perverts have come along and wanted to get some recognition. And before Jesus comes again, it's going to be as it was in the days of Lot. And buddy, let me tell you, they've already got a leg up on it and got laws being made for them. Debates going on all across the country. Somebody told me one time, you know, I'm having trouble trying to determine if I'm a boy or girl. Well, let me just tell you something. If you've got a daddy and he's not perverted, go in the restroom and pull your britches down. He can tell you pretty quick if you're a boy or girl. See that? We've lost that in the day we live in. You know what all this woke movement is? It's contrary and it's in offense. And it tries to contradict God. That's what it does. Who said that Adam and Eve, he made them male and female, so forth and on. Now, you know, you'll get every now and again, there'll be a comedian get on, and they'll make fun of the word of the Lord about Adam and Eve and about a Christian saying, it's not Adam and Steve. Well, let me tell you something, Mr. Funny Man. It ain't Adam and Steve. It's Adam and Eve. And let me tell you something else, is that that's perverted thinking. You see what I'm talking about? In this Bible we're looking at here, it's easy to say amen, but if one of these days, you know, one of your sons falls in love with another man, or your daughter falls in love with another girl, see what I'm talking about? I want to say to you that when you come to know the Lord, you have trusted the faithful Creator that's able to snatch your soul as a brand from the burning and birth you into the family of God. I'll tell you, you'll never be the same. That's why he said that. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Well, you got new thinking. You got new speaking. You got new parents. You just got new life. Life that's everlasting in the Lord and the Savior, Jesus Christ. When that happens and when you're born into the family of God, make no mistake about it. I'll tell you which one you are this morning. If you're without Christ, you're that sinner. If you're without Christ, you're that ungodly person. If you come to Jesus Christ as an empty-handed beggar, you can be righteous by the blood of the Lamb. You become a Christian because he lives on the inside of your heart. I like the old songwriter when he says, you ask me how I know he lives salvation to impart. I'll tell you how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. While we stand to our feet and our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, our musicians are going to come. And we're going to play the invitation song. I want to ask you something, is that if they're going to start, God's going to start down here at the house of God, and the righteous scarcely be saved, where is the sinner? And the ungodly, where are they going to stand? Well, I'll tell you where they're going and where they're going to end up. What a sad commentary that is. Our Father, we